And now, together again on our stage, making beautiful music, J.P. Morgan Chase and Citibank. Hit it, Jay. That's what they're singing, those two banks. Apparently, they sent out letters this week canceling customer credit cards effective October 14th, but they only let customers know on October 19th, which meant that customers who tried to use their cards in the interim were in for an unpleasant surprise. Well, credit card cancellations are nothing new, particularly in the financial crisis and the credit crunch that we've all experienced. Adam Levin joins us now, chairman of Credit.com and former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs. He joins us from New York. Good morning, Adam.
How are you, sir?
Now, you know, the question that occurred to us is, as this happens over and over again, I suppose if I lent you $50 and asked for it back, maybe before we had agreed that you would pay it back, you'd pretty much have to give it back to me. But do consumers have any recourse in a more formal credit card arrangement to resist banks calling for, hey, we want the money back now?
Well, you know, again, you have the right to do anything you want to do, and they also have the right to file suit, destroy your credit, shut accounts, and do like that. And even the new Credit Card Reform Act really offers no protection to consumers against either closing accounts or lowering credit lines. It's just one of the few quivers that the credit card companies have in their arsenal in order to help mitigate their risk. And regulators have even admitted they can still do this.
And let's be clear, this isn't because you didn't make your payment or you fell behind or you went way over your credit limit. This is people who are paying on time, who ostensibly have good credit. They're just sort of moving the goalposts around, right?
This is true. I know people who have exceptionally fine credit who receive letters from institutions telling them that sometimes as much as 60% of their credit lines have been cut because in their particular case, they didn't use their card enough.
All right. Well, listen to one of our listeners who has a similar story, Adam.
I called one of the banks. It was Bank of America. Asked if I could please have my billing date changed. And they said, no, they couldn't do that. And I asked why, and they said they couldn't do anything for me. I said, well, can you lower my interest rate? And they said, no, but there's another department that might be able to do that. They switched me over to another department. This department's person got very snarky with me, and as I was annoyed anyway, I probably reiterated in kind. And I found that next month, not only had he closed down the card that I was calling about, but he had also closed down another card, which came under that bank's aegis, and I was totally unaware that there was any connection.
Whoa. Now, you know, she may not be completely clear on all the facts there, and we didn't check her story, but that sounds like the kinds of stories that you hear every day, right, Adam Levin?
I do. I hear those stories, and I hear the credit lines being cut. It's part of, if you remember, Meredith Whitney a couple of years ago made a prediction that the banking sector and credit extenders were in a drive to reduce over $2 trillion worth of available credit in order to mitigate their risk and limit their exposure in the marketplace, and they are doing it with great relish.
Adam, you know, I barely know who Beyonce is. Who is Meredith?
She is she's a banking analyst.
I see.
She became known a few years ago as one of the real gurus in the trade. And
but Adam, I mean, as you say, they're trying to reduce this available credit out there. This must be terribly frustrating for consumers. But to a certain extent, isn't it a good thing? Haven't we been talking about how even consumers are over-leveraged and we are too much of a credit card economy?
There is no question that in the past few years, we have had irresponsible lending, irresponsible borrowing, and irresponsible spending, and now all of the results of that, the spillover effects, are coming home to roost. Some of it isn't bad. The only problem is that there are an awful lot of people who did the right thing, paid their bills on time, made more than the minimum payment, were on budget, had a plan, and they wake up one morning and either their account was closed, their credit limit was cut, or they find that their minimum payment was doubled, and on top of that, their interest rates were increased by a full 10 to 12 percentage points. And this was not only jarring, but it took people who had solid credit histories, and it put them into sort of the limbo, put them into a negative credit history zone for a while, which didn't help anybody.
All right. Now, you know, we're getting on towards Halloween, and so horror stories are nice. But as chairman of Credit.com and former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, let's get some takeaways here. First
sure.
of all, if you are a credit card holder, how do you avoid being a target of this kind of cancellation, first of all?
Well, the biggest problem is you just never know. You never know because you're operating on almost a tightrope. The tightrope is, am I spending enough that they feel it's worth their while to keep me as a credit card customer and generating enough in fees or rates for them, or am I spending too little? And I suggest to people, for instance, that juggle your cards. Use one card for a couple months, run up a little bit of a balance, maybe even carry it for a month or two. Then use another card, run up a balance, and juggle. Just so that
that's
they're
there cards,
between scared and bored.
Are there cards that are better, like maybe the ones you get from your credit union, or maybe something you get from an association, a union or organization you belong to? Are those better? Are those less likely?
Well, I certainly think that that more reasonably priced cards in the past have been banks that you would get from credit unions and from smaller and regional banks than some of the big money center banks.
Banks that you have a relationship with, and that leads me to my last question. Can the government create a situation like exists with small businesses? I mean, if you get a credit line from a bank and you're a small business, they want to see your business plan. They look at your books. Can the government enforce sort of productive, constructive relationships where banks and consumers collaborate on the right kind of lending so people don't get into trouble and people don't get canceled by surprise quickly?
Well, whether the government can force it or not, the truth is, since we all got ourselves into this mess, it makes a great deal of sense that there be collaboration, cooperation, and communication between business, consumers, government, and the media in order to not only raise the level of financial literacy in the country, but to try to build different kinds of relationships.
Well, that's the goal. That's great. Adam Levin, chairman of thecredit.com and former director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs. Thanks.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.